This is Spacegate, and we are just on our last morning here in Rovaniemi. I think we had a record temperature of minus 27 last... It's a record for me. Maybe not for this area, but a record for me. And, we've been here for the ESA Aurora seminar on space weather and space situational awareness. And with me now is Emmett Fletcher, who is the Space Surveillance and Tracking Manager at ESA. First of all, job titles, they're long, they sound fancy. What does that mean?
What it means is basically I want to build a system where I can find out everything that's in orbit around the Earth and work out where it's going, so then we can help satellite operators to avoid collisions.
Okay, so I think it was the great Douglas Adams who said, space is big, and I mean really big, really, really big. So, okay, we've got a few things flying around. There's plenty of space for everything, right?
There would if everything was evenly distributed, but unfortunately, the satellites we've put around the Earth are all in roughly about the same area, same volume of space. And so this causes a problem. When it's just a few objects, well, you know, the chance of them hitting each other is pretty, pretty slight. But after, you know, 60, 70 years of using space, it's getting a bit polluted up there, and you know, things can get a bit dodgy.
So you're like a traffic manager in a way. You're just ensuring that we don't have any traffic jams and serious crashes in space.
That's part of it, actually. Well, first thing we've got to do is find out exactly what's up there. It's really hard to detect pieces that are moving around at 7 kilometres a second, and then working out where it's going and if you can see it again and work out if it's the same thing you saw before. And doing that for... 600,000 objects, all of them moving around at the same time, it's not an easy task.
So that begs the question, how do you do that?
With very bright people and really good sensors. What we're trying to do is look around Europe and see what sensors like radar and telescopes are available, and then bring them all together to start building the core of a future European space surveillance system, so we can find out what's up there and make a big catalogue of it, and from there we can start preventing further collisions where possible.
So how well do we know what's there at the moment? I mean, obviously we have records of, you know, launching this, that and the other, and we know that, you know, communication satellite is here, and if it isn't there, we know that because the communications on the ground stop working. But I guess maybe there's other stuff that you might not know about?
Absolutely. We know more or less in low Earth orbit, those objects are more or less over 10 centimetres in size, if we're lucky on a good day. As we go further up to the geobelt, you're looking at, if you're really lucky and have something that's very shiny, then we can see things which are a bit bigger than a basketball. But the problem is that the size of objects that can kill a satellite is actually above 1 centimetre. So there's a lot of objects, about 600,000 objects, we actually don't know where they are.
The International Space Station is, in its way, a satellite. And there are people on that. There's a lot of stuff you just said was in space, and you said it can do a lot of damage. Is my friend up there? Is he in danger?
There is a danger. I mean, the ISS has had to make manoeuvres to avoid pieces of tracked debris. The good thing is the ISS is pretty well protected as much as we can against impacts, and they have happened, but not anything that will actually penetrate the pressure vessel, the part where the air is kept in. So up to now, we're fine, and you know, we do look after, and, you know, not only ourselves, but also other space agencies and organisations do monitor very closely the region around the ISS, and we, alerts are given to them when a risk is foreseen.
So you started hearing a little bit more these days about space junk. So I guess in a way this is your space equivalent of old sweet wrappers that people are dropping on the pavement, but these are a little bit more lethal than a sweet wrapper. I mean, where do we know where this stuff came from?
A lot of the pieces of junk we have are actually what's left from a launch. So we have bits which are ejected from a launcher when it separates the stages or when it separates the satellites. But there's other things such as tool bags left by astronauts, nuts and bolts that have come free. Also, there's been quite a few in-orbit explosions which resulted from when a satellite hasn't been saved correctly and the fuel tanks or the batteries have actually, under the stresses and strains of being in orbit, have actually exploded and caused basically fragmentations everywhere within the within its specific orbit.
And each one of these pieces could potentially hit and damage a satellite, cause another collision, damage the space station. So, and how many did you say? 600,000? No. That can't be right.
Yeah, we can actually see these objects. We can actually see objects down to 1 millimetre in diameter. Although that size right now, with the technology we have, we can't predict where it will be, and we can't, you know, check it's the same object we've seen again and again. And if we go down to the size of, say, a centimetre, there's probably about 3.5 million objects up there. So, you know, it is, you know, 600,000 is only in the range of 1 to 10 centimetres. So, you know, there's a lot more stuff up there.
Wow, so this is actually worse than I thought. Maybe I'd misheard you, but no, I didn't mishear you, and actually it's even worse than that. So we need to send some cleaners up and sort this out, don't we?
There's quite a few projects actually looking at ways in which we could reduce the amount of debris that's up there. I think the first thing people are concentrating on is getting rid of the really big pieces of debris. The reason is twofold. Basically, one is because we know where they are because they're big. And the second one is that if they hit something, they will create another cloud of debris, which will drastically increase the amount of dangerous objects that are up there. So, not only the European Space Agency, but other space agencies and other groups are all working on different ideas to actually reduce the debris that's up there right now.
Can we send somebody up with a net and sort of scoop it up, or can we find ways of does this stuff not just deorbit naturally?
Well, the stuff in low Earth orbit does deorbit it naturally if you look up to about 300, 400 kilometres altitude. But if you start going up to 600 to 800 kilometres, which are really useful orbits specifically for Earth observation, any debris up there will last way beyond the lifetimes of our great-grandchildren. So ideas to bring them down are always welcome. There are some ideas, and you mentioned a net, and that is one idea that was put forward. Also,
I was just kidding, no, kind of.
True, actually, there has been a couple of proposals using nets, harpoons, floating next to a big piece of debris, and basically breathing on it with a rocket exhaust to change its orbit, as well as using lasers from the ground to melt off part of the debris, which then creates a sort of rocket engine which will slow down the debris in orbit.
But if you get that wrong, you could end up causing more damage and more fragments.
Yeah, if you're using a laser, you've got to be really careful what you're pointing at. So, a lot of the idea is having this knowledge of what's in orbit so that you can tell the laser operator, right now, don't put there because you're going to hit something that's actually working right now. So, you know, space surveillance not only has a need to protect satellites as they are right now, but also to assist in the reduction of the debris population through things like laser, through capture, harpoons or nets. You still need to know exactly where this debris is to be able to bring it down.
So I have a couple of quick questions. Well, they're probably not that quick, really, given this is quite a complex topic. But firstly, I don't see how this situation is going to get any better, because we're not launching less stuff. We're putting more and more stuff up there. And if we have space tourism and people like me get to go up there one day, hopefully, I don't want to end up, you know, ruining the countryside, but with my rubbish. We're not going to stop going to space. So how do we stop things just ending up in like a massive rubbish pile that we can't get through in the end?
Really good point. It's almost guaranteed that when you go up to space, Kate, you will be do it in an environmentally friendly way. All the space agencies around the world have come together under the United Nations to have an agreement on the allowed behaviours in space. And that includes things like, you know, don't litter, don't leave things in orbit. When you've finished using that orbit with your satellite, make sure it either re-enters into the Earth's atmosphere safely, or you push it out to an orbit that no one's ever going to want to use. And actually now, if you want a license to launch, you need to have basically your debris remediation plan well set into place, and you prove that you're going to enact it. So right now, I think there's a very high amount of awareness amongst the space agencies that, you know, we can't continue to actually add to the amount of debris that's in orbit. So where possible, steps have been made to protect it. Doesn't protect against when a satellite doesn't operate anymore, because it's beyond your control. But that kind of situation is becoming less and less common. So we are becoming a lot more environmentally friendly.
And my other question is, I'm kind of imagining our little blue marble surrounded by bits of flying junk and satellites and space stations and all sorts of things. If we're thinking about going to Mars, and again, this might be a stupid question, but we want to launch, at some point we have to pass through the orbits of some of these things. So how do we have like a very special launch window so we don't hit this or that or the other?
Exactly right. When you're planning a launch, you also do an analysis to see on ascent if you're going to pass through the orbit or anything that's tracked. So, you know, luckily the time you're actually passing through any region of space is very, very small. So the risks of actually being hit by debris is also very small. But if you have the catalogue of objects, it's quite a trivial matter to do the calculation and just, you know, tick that little box so you know that you're not going to hit anything on the way through.
Okay, so my last question, and then I'm going to have to run to get a plane back to Helsinki. I have my satellite. I've spent years designing this thing. It's cost millions and millions of pounds to produce, put it in orbit. It's up there. It's doing its job. I'm very happy. You come along and you say, well, hang on, watch out. We've seen this bit of, you know, rocket booster that's just spinning your way. What do I do? My satellite's there and I don't want to lose my entire life's work and investment. Do I have time? Like, how early can you tell me and can I get out of the way?
We do predictions 7 days in advance. So 7-8 days in advance will give you an idea that there's a potential problem. What that does is give us time to look at that piece of debris again and then work out what the errors are, make sure we get a better fix on the orbit. So then we can pass that information to the mission itself so they can decide, and it's always them who decides, whether they want to maneuver or not. So you know, the more accurate we can detect the debris, the less times a specific spacecraft has to maneuver. So they have a longer lifetime, they lose less science, and there's less workload for already pretty heavy working ground control team for any specific satellite. So that's one of the aims of the system.
I say, I'm convinced. You know, earlier I just a bit harshly compared you to, you know, a traffic warden telling the traffic to go this way and that, but it seems like a bit more of a serious issue. And how do we find out more about what you do?
There's two places to go for information. In the ESA website, so it's www.esa.int/SSA. There's an overview of the entire program. If you want to have a look at our prototype systems, that's at http://sst.ssa.esa.int. And have a look, and if you want to try it out, let us know.